Hello.
Oh, is that you, Norman?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, yes. How you feel? Twitchy like me.
Bit early for me, really, you know. Yeah.
Right, you got sort of since where did you start? How did you hear about the job and things like that, when you were at Latimer, I believe, were you was that your school?
Oh, I see. You won't go back to that, do you?
Well, really, I want to, it's the main lab and the early history part that I'm trying to get back to, and when we worked together in the main lab and that, was that your first job? Oh yes, and what did you get it through the school or did you happen to hear about it?
We lived in a road. We'd been there for years, and the people knew each other,
Oh
and
yes.
they knew I'd left school or was going to leave school.
You'd know old Jake, wouldn't you? You'd know old Jake, I suppose.
I did at school, yeah.
Oh yes.
But excuse me. No, it was a neighbour down the road. She picked up the local one paper one day and saw an advertisement saying that advertising for young children, young boys who had got
Oh, scientific background a little bit.
been to school and got a
Yeah.
passes in science subjects, and they could apply. And, well, I was my dad was dead keen on me being a civil servant. The reason for this was that he'd been in the First World War, and he'd had friends who'd been in the civil service before the war. And at the end of the war, those who had survived, they walked back into their jobs, and they got well. They got 4 years back pay.
Oh yes.
Well, you got damn all.
Yes.
And he'd never forgotten that. And
Yes.
so he said, "You're trying to be a civil servant there." So that's what I was doing. I'd applied. In those days, you could apply for the civil service entrance
That's
examination.
right, yes. I was advised by my parents, you
Yeah.
can't beat a job in the civil service, son,
That's
it's
it.
nice and
Yeah,
steady.
yeah.
Anyway, yes.
And so that's what I was doing. Of
Oh,
course, of filling up the forms and that sort of thing. Suddenly, this possibility arose, and I thought, well, I don't know. Where we lived, I mean, going up to, I knew what it would be. It would be going up to town, sitting in an office all day,
oh
coming back home
yes.
again. And I thought, well, this sounds more interesting, and which it, I think it probably was.
Oh,
And that was it.
yeah. Were you locally interviewed at Waltham or in town?
Oh,
What's the interview?
up at Waltham Abbey,
Yes,
yeah.
oh yeah. And was Blanchard in the lab? You went straight to the main lab, I suppose.
That's right.
That was impressive.
Now I was interviewed in the, in Isle Walton's cottage
Oh yeah.
by the factory manager and other people, three of them. I think Blanchard was probably on it. And a few days later, I heard I got the job. And that was it.
Oh yes.
I was interviewed with Harry Burr. Remember Harry Burr?
Oh, he was with you at the time.
He was a couple of years older than me. He'd
Yes.
stayed on and taken higher schools. I didn't. And, well, I tell you, it was a funny old world because we'd lived in Edmonton, and prior to that, we'd lived in Islington.
Oh yes.
And all my relations lived in London or central London or south London. And I knew nothing about anywhere north of Enfield. Enfield, that was just wild territory to me. We had no car, there were
Quite,
no
yes.
buses. I used to go out cycle riding,
Yes.
but somehow or other I didn't go to North East London. The East, I went westwards. I went
Yes.
out to Hatfield and those sort of places.
Well, I think the first time I went to Waltham was for the interview. I
Yeah.
didn't, yeah, anyway, so yeah.
So Harry Burr and I, we started to get there. Oh, you're going to Enfield Lock. Harry had a sister who lived in Ordnance Road. And she said, "Well, I know around there." So we went to Enfield Lock by mistake, of course.
Oh, you thought that was the place.
Yeah, that's right. Never heard of the government.
Oh,
And so it was a lovely day, and we just walked up the towpath to Waltham Abbey. It was rather romantic.
yes.
And when we got there, we got in. We had plenty of time, so we got there in time and we had this interview. And that was it. And a week or two later, I set off for Waltham Abbey to go to work.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know how to get there, except by train.
Yes.
And so I went up to Waltham Cross Station, and eventually, after a long journey, got into work. The journey actually took about an hour and a half instead of 20 minutes on a bicycle.
Oh, yes. And I think you settled to a bicycle, didn't you?
Well, money.
Yes.
It cost a shilling or two. I got 26 and fivepence a week.
26? Oh, well, yes. That's,
never forget that.
I started at 30 bob, I think.
Yeah, I got 26 and fivepence.
Oh, yeah.
There were deductions, and I ended up going for 25 and tuppence.
Oh, yeah.
And that went on for quite some time.
Mm.
And so, a few bob a week on fares was a good thing to be avoided.
Right, yes. But what was what job did they put you on first there?
Measuring coal dust. That was the purpose of people, I learnt later, the purpose of having people do that was that they couldn't do much damage.
Yes.
It was a sort of safe job. They got over their headaches.
Yes, that's right. Got you used to NG heads, yes.
That's right. And after they've been doing that for a few weeks, people have got a general impression whether they were suitable or not.
Yes.
That was the feeling I got about it later on.
Oh, yes. It was a sort of, breaking in or assessment.
One thing they were very careful about, of course, was the safety aspects. And they didn't want anybody floating around.
Yes.
who brought in violins with sandwiches or anything like that.
Oh, yes. You remember my little episode.
I do, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And how long were you in there? About a year, I suppose.
Oh, no.
They were
recruiting at the time. So
yes.
After about, three months, I was handed over to Eric Speller.
Mm-hmm.
That was an education
to work
in
with
itself.
Him. Yes.
He was already in there.
Uh-huh.
And he instructed me how to measure coal dust.
Oh, isn't it? Hmm. Yes.
And a few other things too.
Didn't we all in those days?
Yeah, that's yes. Right. Well, he was a mature 18-year-old, and I was 16, just 16.
Oh, yes.
Hmm. I was 16 in a week, I think.
That'd be about 38, 39.
And, he was an education himself, he was.
Yes.
Always liked Eric after that. It was great.
Yeah. Oh,
Then
you moved into the main building, did you?
No, the next step after that was to do the heat tests.
Oh, yes, next door, yes.
Yeah, that's right, you moved next door.
Mm-hmm.
You ground cordite, and you didn't do the heat tests.
You were on the one of the lads turning the mill.
Turning the mill, yeah.
Yes.
I think it was Phil Freeman who was doing the heat tests.
Oh, yes. Mm.
And did that for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't remember what I went down.
Did you have NG moistures and things like that? Did they come up like little glass dishes you had to do them in the...
Oh, yes.
Gun cotton moistures, I think we did, didn't we?
Mm.
That was upstairs gun cotton moistures, wasn't it? Yes.
I think we did the NG testing down
there. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember dropping a hot test tube with a gram or so of NG on the
top. Oh, yes.
I dropped it and it fell out. Oh, God. Probably
yes.
Put it out and landed on and hit me.
Am I still here? Yes.
Yeah, am I still here? Yes. It's rather worrying. Yeah.
Oh, and then you went upstairs to... that would be the next job, wouldn't it? Would it be things like acids or something?
Oh, no, nothing like that. No. Cordite moistures.
Oh, cordite moistures, yes.
Cordite moistures, yes.
Did you ever get caught on CE?
Of course.
Yeah, oh, you did a stint in there, yes.
Yeah, I worked there for a long time.
Oh, yes. And yeah. You must have done that because I never remember seeing you yellow when I got there.
No, it's, No, I made some notes about this. Around the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way they worked it then, if you really want to hear about this, there were about, about 20, I suppose, and they were split up in groups of two, three, or four, depending on how much work there was, sometimes only one. And they seemed to have split the thing into, I can remember, about eight different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And the, first of all, it was the called up measurement. I haven't got that down. NG testing and heat testing.
That was the next step.
Cordite, of course. And then there was somebody who did analyse cordite, didn't do anything else.
Yes.
Proportions of
energy. In the extraction room, wasn't it? Yes. So upstairs in the main lab.
Yeah. There was another job which was just doing all the moisture contents on cordites and
With those conical glass dishes over the top.
With the glass cones on.
Glass cones, yes. That's it. Mm.
And then there was a chap who did nothing but analyse acids.
Yes.
Mm.
I did acids for a time.
Yeah. I mean, everybody did all this. I mean, the one thing they did do, which was very good, I think you had 3 months on each job.
That's right, I remember that now.
And then everybody switched round.
You got experience all over the place, didn't you?
And it was very good. By the time you'd been through that lot, you were quite a competent analyst, because there was all sorts of things you had to do.
Mm. You had such a range of things. You weren't stuck on one and left there.
And once more, it kept your interest alive. Otherwise, you'd drive out the wall if you were doing heat testing for 5 years or something. Then there was the gun cotton testing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story in itself. But that was a job for, I think, two or three people on that.
Mm.
Remember doing lung and nitrometers?
Yes, shaking them with mercury and that.
Shake, rap and roll, yeah. Then there's tetral testing. I think it was usually three people doing that.
Yes, that's right. Yes, I mean, yeah.
And then when they started bringing RDX in, there was one man who analysed RDX and CNT. And
that was in the separate little hut at the end, wasn't it?
In the shed at the end, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there were people who did the stores work, testing cotton waste and glycerin and all sorts of things.
What, sampling and all that, was it?
Yes.
You had to go and get your own samples, I think, didn't you?
Well, some of them, yeah. That was a story. Did you do this?
Yes, it's used to have to go down to what was his name? Terra Peck, wasn't it? Looked after the acetone.
Oh yeah.
And the drums.
That was the job I remember most fondly. I mean, the trouble with working there was that you never got out the lab.
You were stuck indoors all day.
I mean, you were positively discouraged from wandering around.
Oh, yes, that's...
it was strictly against the law just to have a wander and look at things. You couldn't do that.
The sad part about that is that we can't really give good accounts of what it was like in the incorporating houses
not
or the acid
all.
Factory and that.
No,
you couldn't get around.
Not at all. No. It was a closed shop.
Mm.
The normal day was that you came up to the main gate, you called out all clear if you were, sort of went through that. No passes. No factory passes.
You were just recognised, weren't you?
Yeah, no factory passes. Mm-hmm. And then you you went on round through the old stores area,
mm-hmm.
And got to a gate where there was a man who searched you.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes. Oh yes, the searcher's hut on the
searcher,
by the bridge.
He was the next Coldstream Guard sergeant.
Can you remember the names?
His name was Wade.
Wade, oh, that's right, yes.
Wade.
Yeah.
And he cut your hair if you talked to him nicely.
Yes. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You pop inside the hut and have a haircut.
At lunchtime, you disappear into his hut for 20 minutes and he cuts your hair.
Oh, yes.
He charged you sixpence.
Yes.
It was good for him and good for
Yeah.
Too.
Right.
And but it was very useful during the war when we were working long hours and so on. You see?
Oh yes, and there weren't that many hairdressers about then. There wasn't much of anything at all.
No. It was a very useful facility. Yeah. Anyway, that was the stores.
Yeah. And then it was what buildings we get? The leather shop was on the corner there somewhere, wasn't it?
The buildings.
As you went over the searchers, as you went over the searchers hut, you can't remember what were the buildings. Coming back before you got to the searchers hut, the old sort of saltpeter buildings, were they on the left? The opposite the.
They were all part of the stores.
Oh, they were part of the stores. Oh, yes.
Stores buildings. They
extended all along there on the left-hand side, didn't they?
All along the riverside.
Fire station and then the stores.
Eventually, all of them were... Well, the very old buildings, which you're talking about, turned in... They were preserved as the library.
Oh, that side, it became the library.
Yeah,
it's
not
it,
all
yes.
of them. I mean,
no.
they were incorporated into the library.
Yes. Mm.
I mean, later on, they pulled out all the old buildings, pulled them all down from that little bridge over the stream. The thing that I can't remember is whether you could drive vehicles into the place.
I don't remember that.
Certainly couldn't drive them any further than the stores. I know that.
No,
I'm not even sure whether you could go that far.
I don't think you could.
No, I've got a feeling you could.
It was all bicycles, wasn't it? Or hand-pushed carts
things. Hand-pushed carts.
Yeah. Then you go over the bridge, and then you... I think it was a leather worker's shop on the left, just after you'd gone over the bridge, wasn't it? Cause,
I don't remember that.
And then there was the machine shop on the...
Well, the machine shop was the machine... It was always the machine shop.
Yeah, that's it.
That was unchanged. Mm. The thing that did change was that in the beginning, at that time... there was a canal or cut came up the side of the machine shop.
Yes.
To the end of the building.
Oh.
You know, if you imagine the machine shop, it's a big building.
Yeah.
That were the wall that you was as you approached it actually went straight into the water.
Oh yeah. Mm.
And they brought up the acetone on old barges and loaded it there. And then it went across from there into the acetone house, which
became the acetone storehouse. The acetone storehouse on its own at the end of the long walk.
That's right, yeah.
Was there something, did they keep mineral jelly in there as well?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, yes.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah. And there's a strange tanks in there. I've looked in there, and the strange tanks looks like they've got steam heating and things and that in there. Look, I imagine. Anyway, and then, of course, you go up the long walk to...
The lab.
To the lab, oh, yes.
The long walk wasn't metalled, really.
No.
You couldn't have driven the car up there. It wasn't wide enough.
Oh, yes.
Wide enough, but not quite.
Yes. Mm.
And, you could drive a car up, but everything would have to get off it.
Yeah.
Mm. One would probably be partially in mud. But
then there was a stream in front of the main lab, wasn't it?
Yes, the little stream went all the way along there.
Oh, yes. Mm.
You didn't go that way. Of course, you went around a sort of diversionary path through the woods.
Yes, that's it. You weren't allowed to go along.
No, you weren't allowed to go along that straight path. Never could quite make out why.
Those gunpowder buildings were still working at the early part.
Yeah, I think
they?
That was the idea. It was to keep as many people away from the gunpowder, as far away from the gunpowder buildings as they could.
Yes.
Funnily.
Do you recall any water wheels ever turning? And that any motive power? Because there was, at the beginning of the long walk, the mill started there, didn't they?
I remember seeing them. The mills were blowing a landmine on them in 1940.
Oh, yes. That's what put pay to them.
And that put the end put pay to those.
So they were churning, you actually.
Yeah, they were making gunpowder the first 12 months I was there. 12, well, more than that, nearly 2 years.
Oh, yes.
This would have happened in the late 1940s, I suppose.
Yeah.
Mm. And until then, they were making gunpowder. One of the jobs in the chap who did the coal dark moistures also had to do the gunpowder moistures.
Oh, yes. Mm.
And, it was sort of routine.
Oh, you actually had gunpowder samples up at the lab.
Oh, yes. But I know all about testing gunpowder. The lab was equipped to analyse the charcoal from the gunpowder. I don't know whether you ever knew that.
No, I didn't know. No,
yeah,
this is all news to me.
A huge machine and piece of apparatus. The classic bit of chemical analysis apparatus for measuring carbon content and things like that.
Oh, yes.
You did it by ignition. You put a long tube heated by umpteen triple gas burners. I mean, I hate to think how many kilowatts went into that. But, I don't know how I never used it, but there was a method. People knew how to do it. It was done very, very rarely. It was didn't seem to produce anything very useful, and they didn't need doing all that frequently either. The thing stood in the corner of the upper main lab for years. And you know where the B&J apparatus was? Remember that?
Oh, is that in the new room?
Yeah, that's right, the far room.
Yes. Was it in there?
Yes, it was as far away from the stairs as you could go.
Oh, yes. I see. No, I don't remember it. No.
Yeah, that stood there for many years. I think it was used once. I remember it being used once or twice, but
yes,
very infrequently.
Yeah.
And getting charcoal was an important thing for making gunpowder, as you probably realise.
Yes.
Was
the charcoal made on the site at the time?
Well,
not
that
sure.
I don't know.
No.
I don't think so, because, I mean, they would have to... If it was made on the site, it would have been made sort of over the far side where they stored the acetone and glycerin. And
yes, because
sort
of the fire
ago.
Risks.
I don't think they did it.
No.
I think they got their charcoal.
Oh, yes.
But the trees, the plantation was planted with the idea of producing charcoal for gunpowder.
Oh, yes.
And that's why you had alder trees there in large numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Because the classic stuff for gunpowder was boxwood. Boxwood is difficult to grow. It takes ages. So an easily obtainable substitute.
I see. Oh, yes.
For alders. So they planted alder trees.
Is there any humorous episodes or any incidents, or let's say to be a bit morbid, any accidents and that, apart from the, there was the NG explosion, but in the lab, did you have any
accidents
sort of...
Accidents in the lab?
Yeah, there weren't many. They were fairly safe, weren't they? Wasn't any nasties there, but...
No, well, if you remember, they had a little notebook in which all accidents had to be written down.
Oh, that's right.
Every time you cut your finger, it went into the book.
Yes.
And that's about all there was in the book, by my recollection.
Well, they would cut fingers.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't much in that way.
Was there any humorous incidents that you can call to mind? I had my spate of them with a fun string fiddle and things like that, but because they were quite, I mean, for a bunch of lads and that, they're quite a lively lot. I always recall the sort of the cat among the pigeons when the girls arrived.
Oh, God, yes.
That started a whole new phase of our lives, you might say.
It did indeed. I mean, until they arrived, for 2 or 3 years, I lived in a totally masculine world.
Yes.
I didn't have any occasion. I had no sisters.
No. Nor me, no.
Totally masculine world. Oh, well, it's strange because I did go, I mean, I went to a co-ed school.
Yes.
Entirely ignorant of ladies, but I had one or two contacts with the girls at school, pupils and that sort of thing.
Oh,
not
no,
very
but,
much. In any case, somehow or other, they didn't seem to click.
That's right, yes. No, you took it for granted, really.
No, it's strange. But you're quite right. When the women started to arrive, the people who had experienced women had sort of started off with a great advantage of being
the
very stellar again.
Yes. I know people like, there was a girl up there who used to do the moistures at, I can't remember her name. But then I remember, as everybody did, Betty Dixon arriving.
Oh, I remember Betty. Betty Dixon was the first one.
Was she the first one?
No, she wasn't.
No, that's what I think. There wasn't earlier.
There was an older lady. Oh, I took her the pictures once.
Oh, yes.
I was 18, she was 23.
Yeah, she was a bit older than us.
And she was... Kay, her name was
Kay. Kay, that's right, yes.
Can't remember.
And then there was Pat Barge,
yes.
Caught my eye, and I took her to the pictures once, yes. Do you remember the dancing club?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes. That was later.
That was somewhat later,
was
yes.
Later. We'd all got more mature.
But it was funny, the little petty jealousies that used to arrive when the girls were there. Why was so-and-so walking down the long walk with so-and-so and so-and-so? You know, what was she seeing him? Oh, dear, yes.
Shall we get back to the... I've got this stuff sort of tabulated, actually.
Yes.
When you asked the question about the different sections, I'd already dealt with that.
Oh, yes.
The other thing I've got on this page...
Yeah, well, give us all that you've got, you know.
The other thing I've got on this page, it's all out of order, I'm afraid, what was actually in the Old Maid Lab at the time.
Yes.
And later. There were a few, you know, you went up the stairs... And you saw the fume cupboards. They were a story in themselves anyway.
Yes.
Do you remember the fume cupboards?
Yes, with the gas lamp.
Yeah, used to light a
gas flame,
thing.
Yes.
I mean, looking back, I mean, it's staggering that you got away with that.
Yes. Yes, it flamed up the chimney.
Yeah, and it wasn't as if the fume cupboards were being used for something fairly innocuous. Every week somebody would come along and put fifty mils of sulfuric acid or something in there, put a Bunsen burner on it and evaporate the lot off.
Yes.
I mean,
that's right, yes, I did, didn't I?
Very curious things we had to do in those days.
Oh, yes, those fume covers, they were used all sorts of things.
And then there were the, there's a lot of tests done like that. Ash contents, almost everything you can think of.
Yes.
And then, of course, there was the business of doing the long enantiometer.
Yes, oh yes.
You had to do this, didn't you?
I have done it, yes. Didn't you mixing gun cotton with, made a slurry with sulfuric acid or something, didn't
That's
you?
That's right, you had a sulfuric, all the details of these sort of things, if ever anybody's interested, are all in the methods book, which I'm sure are around, still in the archive somewhere.
Yes.
But I don't suppose it's not the sort of thing you want to get too involved with. But the long enantiometer thing was really quite extraordinary, because in recent times, I mean, we were handling sort of the odd hundredweight of mercury.
That's right, yes.
There was something like a couple of hundred grams in each one of those.
Yes, a two-inch sphere is practically full of mercury, yes.
And if you broke one, you just got covered in a spray of mercury and stuff.
Yeah, oh, God, yes.
Mm. You know, I mean, it was a bit hairy.
Mm.
And then, of course, at the end of every test, you had to... expel the nitric oxide into the atmosphere. Open all the windows immediately. I mean, but nobody seemed to suffer any ill effects. Afraid I ever since those days, I found it very difficult to get worked up about things like asbestos and acid fumes and things like that.
I find that rather difficult to...
You hear some bloke, oh, Christ, you can't touch that. It's got half a gram of asbestos in it.
Yes. Oh, yes. The whole thing seemed grossly exaggerated. And I mean, I suggest it might be jobs for the boys to make sure that the contract kept going.
Well, I'm sure you're right. Yeah, I'm sure you're right. Anyway, they were quite exciting at times, and
Yes.
some people were much better at breaking nitrometers than others. I wasn't one of them.
I think one of the most hazardous or unpleasant jobs in the whole lab was sieving tetrile, wasn't it?
Oh, God, yes.
That
That
really
was
used to
nasty.
get people down.
Yeah, that's right.
But,
Anyway, so to finish the long nitrometer story off,
yes.
later on, when all the work stopped, there was a period then where we were looking around for something to do. And somebody said, I don't know who, I wonder how much mercury there is under the floor of the
Oh, yes,
room.
the nitrometer room, yeah.
And you could get to the lower, underneath the floor, by, there was a trap door in the hallway of the building.
Yes.
And we pulled that up. No, G. Cook and I went down there. And we were paddling in mercury.
Oh.
Incredible.
Oh, yes. Well, I've never. Oh,
We spent an hour or so down there, sort of trying to suck this stuff up in
pipettes,
and so on.
Yes.
And I think we recovered about half a pint or a pint or something like that. Which doesn't sound very much.
Good Lord, yeah.
But it's an awful lot of mercury in half
yes.
a pint. It weighs very heavy, of course.
And of course, we were in exposed in a way to that vapor all the time you were around the place, really.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Well, it's a sort of like a concrete undersite, like a...
Well, it's a typical... It was built like most houses.
Mm.
You laid foundations around the outside.
Yeah.
You might have put a bit of gravel or something in the middle. And
oh,
then
yes,
you, and
it
you
was
built
just
up
hard
the,
earth, like...
That's right, and the thing was, built up about
oh,
three
yes,
or four
mm.
feet, if you remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so we did that one day.
Mm.
But we left a lot down there. I don't know what eventually happened, I'm sure. It just wasn't a very easy, certainly a very, not very pleasant thing to do. Once you've done it, you don't want to do it again.
Sure.
yes. But we left down more than we took up, I know.
Left what?
We left behind more than we
Oh, yes,
removed.
Yes. Mm. So as far as we know, it's still there.
Yeah, I suppose the building's still there, is it?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm.
What is it now, is it? They use it?
No, it's completely stripped, empty. Every building on the site is virtually stripped, and it's getting you haven't been obviously haven't been along there lately,
no,
but
no.
It's getting very dilapidated, to use a usual
yeah,
phrase.
Yeah.
The felting on the roofs is loose, and a lot of the buildings are suffering, and they've just started doing an audit, building audit, as you might say, because in the new year it's on the cards that contractors will come along and start. Patching up the places and putting, doing the roofs up. But
oh, I see.
They are. But the main lab is probably one of the buildings in better condition of than any of them.
Mm.
It is. It's all dry in there and the roofs.
Well, it
out.
Was used. I mean, right up to the time the place actually shut down.
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah, I've got it. I've wandered in there once or twice, and to be a bit romantic, voices start coming out from odd corners.
I can imagine that. Yeah. Oh, it's a funny old place because
yes, it certainly was.
The first time I ever went in there, I thought, what a funny smell! I'd never been in a proper chemical laboratory
no.
before.
No, mm.
Used to smell very strange, and. Well, of course, after you worked in it for a week, all the smell had gone.
Yes, you don't notice it, yes.
They didn't take notice anymore. Mm. But I didn't work, left there and went across to the other building where we worked and hardly ever went back. And I think it must have been 5 or 10 years went by, and I didn't have any occasion to go there until one day, some reason or other, I wanted to talk to somebody who might be over there, and I thought, well, I'll go in. And as soon as I went in there's this smell. It brought
yes.
it all back.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, very strange.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Yes. Well, we've got about another 7 minutes left, I think, so I don't know.
Oh, you better get some more tapes.
let's see. Of course, we always used to go over the canteen. That was in the
Yeah, well, look, I'll tell you what, seeing we've only got a little bit of time,
yes.
I'll go through the headings of the things.
Yes.
We've covered the work in the main lab.
Yeah.
And my recruitment.
Yes, well, you can bring it more up to date, you know, if you can, we can get a bit more, have your more or less your whole life history, working life history on it.
Oh, well, I know about that.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, as far as you like, but...
Yeah. No, well, I'll tell you.
It was a sort of wartime period, you know, the active period that we're concentrating on.
Well, the wartime. Most of the interesting stuff in the wartime happened on the south side, not the north.
Yes,
really.
Mm. Percy Smith and
right,
things like that.
Did
you ever have to sample the, go over the Bowden Evans concentrators and the acid factory and get samples? And
no, we never took samples there. The workers always did that.
Oh, yes.
No, the other thing about the work, we sort of mentioned the stores business. Well, of course, the having to do the sampling, or a certain amount of the sampling, sort of gave you access to more of the factory.
Yes.
And, you know, I've got a bit here about the trees in there.
You've got what?
Trees.
Yes.
Mm. Of course, the thing was very heavily forested, as you remember. I mean,
yes.
As you came into work, you could hardly see the old places which later became laboratories.
No, no.
In order to get the samples of acetone and glycerin, you used to have to go across, and there was a boat which you pulled yourself across the stream on. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
And,
but was it somewhere near the swing bridge?
No, it was right up by the lab.
Oh, no, I don't remember that bit. Over the other side,
if you came out the door of the main lab and walked straight across
through the forest for a little way, and then
there are some buildings.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right.
On the canal bank.
On the canal bank.
Yeah.
It was quite close to those.
Oh, I see. Yes.
It was a pathway because the thing was used fairly.
No, I didn't get across it. Only once that the mob went swimming there one fine day.
Oh, yeah,
I
remember going swimming in there.
Yeah. Anyway, oh, yes, I used to...
Eric Speller and I went swimming and Bill Blanchard came out, and so we got out the water and hid round the building.
Oh, lovely.
And he knew damn well we were there.
Yes.
He more sense than go and have a look. So he just sort of prowled around for a bit and came moved away.
Decided Lee said soon is mended.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Yeah. But I didn't think that was the case at the time, but I'm sure that's what it was.
Yes.
The older you get, the wiser you get.
Oh, yes, and you get the sample, you go across there for your samples
using the
boat.
Of course, it was quite a bit of excitement to get on the water and pull yourself across this stream and then go along and sample the glycerin or the acetone, I think.
Yes.
There was a lot of it, too.
Mm. Certainly a lot better than working in town.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are hundreds of drums of this stuff.
Yes.
Mm. All over. Later on, of course, they put a building up there for doing calorimetry on propellants.
Oh, yes. Mm.
That's that. And then, of course, you had to go down to the stores. You mentioned something about that.
Mm.
Well, I mean, did you ever go into the stores?
In the old stores building, up the stairs. Yes.
There's an old boy there. I went up there one day and he had his feet in two pots of lubricating oil.
Oh, yes.
To help his corns.
It wasn't Doug Ball, was it?
Hey.
Well, there was a Doug Ball work there.
Oh,
no.
This is a very decrepit old boy.
Oh, yes.
Fat, very, very fat. You know, Oily Bert, they used to call him.
Yeah, oh, yes.
He was in charge of the oil.
Oily Bert.
Oily Bert, yes.
Oh, yes. That's I think I recall that. Yes.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
Yeah. After accidents in the lab, the B&J test used to explode fairly regularly.
Oh, yes, heat test on gun cotton, that is.
Yeah, that's a stability test on gun cotton. It used to be all right, but it was a very high temperature test.
Yes.
And everything went all right, providing you made sure you cleaned the tubes out after you used them and before they were used again.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. If you left any trace of something like acetone in the tube, the gun cotton used to explode. This was well known, but it still happened occasionally.
Yes.
Mm. And then, oh, yeah. I heard an ex-colleague of mine describing this, but he got it all wrong, actually. There was a time when the work was were almost finished there, and people were, and I was taking my degree exams,
mm-hmm.
and I used to take advantage of the fact there wasn't much work to do. I used to go in and study, you know,
yeah,
in my spare time, particularly at lunch times, and
mm-hmm.
I was doing this in the I used to do it in the balance room.
Mm-hmm.
Spread your papers out a little way on there. And the I was peaceful and quiet in there. There weren't many of us working there at the time. There's only about five or six of us, and everybody had gone off to lunch except me, and I was in sole command of the main lab.
Mm-hmm.
And there I was beavering away, and suddenly I had a sort of whooshing noise, curious noise, and looked out the door of the balance room, and you know, the new, what you call the new room?
Yes.
That was full of fallout flames.
Cool.
Yeah, you couldn't see anything through them. They were just a whole mess of flame.
Yeah.
I thought, well, I'll get out of this. So I rapidly ran down the stairs and phoned the alarm number.
Yes.
I forgot what it is, what it was then, but it wasn't 999, it was some other number.
Mm.
And then I thought to myself, well, I don't know, I'm going to go off and have another look. And went up the stairs again, and lo and behold, all the flame had gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a bit of hesitation, I went into the new room and discovered that there was some scorch marks, a bit of flame on the ceiling, something was alight on the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
and some... A notebook was alight on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, on the way up, I'd grabbed the fire extinguisher and turned it upside down.
Uh-huh.
You remember those things?
Yes, oh yes, they start up automatically when
you
turn them up.
Yeah, you just turn them upside down.
Mm.
And I was standing there thinking, well, what am I going to do? You know, there's not much fire here. And suddenly this bloody thing started going.
Mm.
So I sprayed it on the fire, or fires.
Mm.
That took about 3 seconds. And there I was with this thing building up its delivery.
Oh, yes.
And,
Of course, there's no way of stopping it, is there?
No way of stopping it, no.
No.
So I had to... It was mid-summer. It was during the summer sometime. It was a nice day.
Mm.
So I got over to the far window, opened it up, and shoved this thing pointing out the window so that it sprayed on top of that, the RDX.
Oh, yes.
You know,
the little hut.
And, this was just sort of petering out. And I was sort of thinking, oh, well, it's all right. And the fire brigade arrived.
Uh-huh.
Very elderly man on a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Oh, that's the fire brigade.
That's the fire brigade, you see.
What had actually caused it? Do you ever find out?
Yes, I do. It was a time when we were... got a new method for estimating water,
mm-hmm.
which requires something called a Fischer reagent.
Yes.
You titrated the water. I've forgotten the chemistry.
Fischer reagent.
In order to do this, you needed quite large quantities of reagents, because this is an important thing. I was using this to estimate the amount of water in mixed acids. You could do it directly. Because previously the water content was what we had left over at the end.
Yeah.
Not very accurately assessed, whereas this way you just get a little drop of water, it's only about 1% or something.
Mm-hmm.
You could analyze it directly.
Oh,
yeah. And in order to do this, you had to have some absolutely dry reagents. And the main one was methanol, or one of the principal ones was methanol, methyl alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And you could buy this stuff with about all the purest alcohol, methanol you could buy, I think, had about 0.5% of water in it. And that was much too much. You had to get rid of that. And And so what you did, you put a 2-litre quantity of methanol in a flask. You tipped in some aluminium strips, you know, foil. Magnesium. And you cooked it up under a reflux. You connected this thing to a reflux condenser. And later on, you distilled off the methanol, which was then dry. The magnesium reacts with the water, you follow me? And produces hydrogen. And you're still there?
Yes.
And you distill the methanol off, and it comes out, and you've got dry methanol. You collect that and use it. Well, I'm afraid one of our colleagues...
Can you stop there, Norm? I'll just put the other tape on.
Okay.